So it's important to keep good records. That's one thing. Southern Baptists were they started out right. They're out of the Sandy Creek camp meeting. Yeah. I'm not a Southern Baptist. I did grow up in that, and I have friends and relatives, etc. But of course, they're going in the wrong direction. But they were very diligent in keeping records and those kind of things. And I'm grateful for that. I was grateful to find a book. Our county, Stanley County. It used to be part of Anson County, which used to be Montgomery County, which years before that, half of North Carolina was one county. But churches were planted there out of Sandy Creek. I believe Sandy Creek planted Little River, and I think Little River planted Rocky River, and Rocky River planted several, but one of them was Kendall's Baptist, which is in the northern part of our county. And I was doing some research, and I found a book written by a pastor. His last name was Black, and it's on the origin of the Baptist. He pastored that church in the 1920s, and it's good stuff. It's good stuff. So I thank the Lord for our history. I thank Him for what He's given us, and it's important to know it. I'm encouraged by it. I was sitting there thinking, and my mind was going to reading about the men, and sometimes when God would blow, that's what the words have been used, that they would hardly have time to sleep, the preachers, because there were crowds wanting to be preached to. They were sinners crying out for mercy and wanting help. And they hardly had time to rest. Amen. Do it again. Do it again. I believe God can. I know He can. And I'm just grateful to be in it. And I was also sitting here thinking, wow, God, who am I to be in on this? Thinking how many times we wanted to quit.
Yeah, come on, dude.
Thinking about my wife and I both made the statement through some of the dark times, we understand why people quit church. Y'all sing Don't Give Up on the Brink of a Miracle?
No.
Oh, you need to. Oh, that's a good one. But, well, there's so much in Baptist history to share. I was trying to think of, you understand that as I mentioned earlier, the Baptist influenced Thomas Jefferson. Of course, does everybody know the story of John Gannot and George Washington? You don't? Oh, okay. John Gannot, I mentioned him this morning. Didn't I mention John Gannot? John Gannot was from up north. By the way, when John Gannot came down to the Sandy Creek camp meeting, there's a little bit of a snotty-nosed attitude amongst the Baptists of the camp meeting of this northern preacher. And he actually left the meeting, and Shubal Stearns kind of chasing the group. And they sent after him and got him to come back and preach. And after he preached, some of the preachers testified that they didn't think they could ever preach again after hearing that man preach the Word of God. And so God used him. He was a man of wit. He was a man of courage. He was coming through North Carolina one time preaching, and things were heating up toward the Revolutionary War. And they told him that the next town was waiting on him and he should go around that town or they were going to get him. So he went right to it. And he asked them when they were going to muster. They were having some exercises, and he found out, and he showed up right before and he started preaching to them. And he preached to them. And when he got done, the commander said, can you stay? We'll hurry our exercises so you can preach again.
Amen.
He was mightily used of God. And John, by the way, there were many Baptist chaplains in the Revolutionary War. John Gannot was one of them. He was at one of the battles we were losing, and his testimony goes something along the lines of, I suddenly found myself at the front of the battle leading the charge. I knew I was supposed to be back comforting the wounded, but I found myself at the front of the battle leading the charge and turning the battle around. By the way, John Gannot came back and he pastored Jersey Church. I mentioned that they told him, we'll dismiss you. He did come to North Carolina and pastor Jersey Church. Jersey Church is just outside of Lexington, kind of the southeast corner. And did we take you to Jersey Church? Yeah, oh yeah, we went there this past year. I can't keep up with when I went where. Yeah, that's when we had to listen to the long dialogue. Anyway, some things you endure just so you can see some other stuff. But anyway, John Gannot pastored there. There was a deacon in the church. His name was Benjamin Merrill. Benjamin Merrill. Like Daniel Merrill. And are you familiar with the Battle of Alamance a little bit? Battle of Alamance was the first battle of the Revolutionary War. Now, if you go to Alamance Battlefield and you listen to those that are there to tell you about it, they'll tell you it was not, because that is the official government stance. However, when they get done giving you their propaganda, you can walk outside and look around. And there's a highway that goes right through the old battlefield. And if you look on the other side of the road from the building, there's a monument over there that sticks up pretty tall. It'd be easy to see. And if you go out there, it's got things written on each side. I'd never walked to the other side and looked at it, but Pastor Woody was down there with me one time. He said, let's go look at it. And so we went over there. Now, by the way, the first time I went to Alamance Battlefield, in my bright intelligence, I asked him why he didn't call it the First Battle of the Revolutionary War, because it was. And that he was a very cordial individual and was nice to me in spite of my bad attitude. He basically told me they signed my paycheck and this is what I'm supposed to say. That is basically. How many of you ever seen Ryan McGuire's documentaries? All right, if you see a gentleman in one of his documentaries dressed up in old colonial military garb, that's the man that I was talking to. He used to work there. He doesn't work there anymore. So anyway, you know, they say it's not the First Battle of the Revolutionary War. But if you go over that monument, which they moved there from Guilford Courthouse, it was put up over 100 years ago, and you go to the back side, the plaque says, the First Battle of the Revolutionary War. Now, our forefathers put that up 100 years ago, and they said it was Revolutionary War battle. I think I'll believe them because they were closer to it than we are. That's just Henson history there. You can do what you want to with it. At Battle of Alamance, Governor Tryon was, you got persecution. We don't understand persecution that went on. In North Carolina, the Anglican Church was the state church. It was illegal to be anything else. And Baptists were growing like crazy in the backcountry of North Carolina. And so that's why they call Shubal Stearns the apostle of the backcountry. Apostle Paul of the backcountry. And so it was growing like crazy there, churches being planted, and there was corruption in the colonial government. I'm before Revolutionary War. Governor Tryon was the governor, and there was corruption, and these people were upset. They were being taxed and taxed and taxed. Sound familiar? And not only that, what would go on is they would say, you've got to have... there's so much that fits in this. See, all the battles that were going on in Europe, those kings would have these guys who would fight in the army, and they didn't have money to pay their commanders, so they would give them land in the colonies. They ain't never seen it. They ain't paid for it. They just claimed it as theirs. They're the king. And they give it to these guys. These guys would hire men to go over there and develop it and sell it. And so they would come along, and people were coming down into North Carolina from the New England colonies, because it wasn't as strong in the persecution as up north. at that time. And they would come down and they'd buy a plot of land. They would clear it. They'd build a house. They'd build a barn. They'd start planting the land. And then here would come the county or the government, the state official, and say, you got to pay for this land. And they say, I already paid for the land. Well, where's the paper? Well, paper was very rare. It was hard to get any paper, much less have an official document. And so if they didn't have the official document, they would literally make them pay for their land again. That corruption was going on in the colonial government. Other things that were going on, they told the Baptist that because you didn't get married in an Anglican church, you're not married and your children are illegitimate. How'd you like to be told that today? You think that might make your skin get a little uptight? Make your hair stand up a little bit. Somebody tells you that you're an immorality because you didn't get in the state church and get married. I don't want to get into that politics too much, but you can do your own study on marriage license and figure out where you stand on that. But government, it's not up to them. God, what God hath joined together, not what Uncle Sam has joined together. And so anyway, it's a whole nother issue. And so they were upset about it. I had a preacher fall out with me because what is on the Constitution of Shiloh that's on the website, and we're a mission of that, so it is ours, and I agree with it. And he accused me of being an illegal person and disobeying the law of the lands and stuff like that. And I said, by the way, anybody ever heard of Terry Hamilton? Terry Hamilton is a lawyer in Ohio. He's a Baptist. His office is in the church building beside his pastor. And he looked at Shiloh's Constitution, and he's in favor of it. And so back in North Carolina, they were persecuting them, and things were going on. They wrote letters of grievance, and Governor Tryon had a right-hand man. Children, y'all remember who I'm talking about? The one that they beat up in the courthouse. What's his name? Anyway, they got him one time at one of them courts, and they beat him up. And, of course, that kind of caused some problems. But he was Fanny. That was his name, Fanny. And he was a vile, wicked man. As a matter of fact, getting ahead of myself, there were six regulators that were hanged. One of them was engaged to a young lady, and some of the historical documentation indicates that Fanny seduced her from this man, and of course he was upset about it, and that was one of the reasons he was hanged as a regulator. So they keep writing these petitions, and eventually they come together as a regulator. Sandy Creek had a hard time with what to do with the regulators. All right, you got to back up and look at our Baptist forefathers have lived under Catholic domination for 1,200 years. And now to have a situation, are we going to take up arms against the government? And there was a lot. At one point, Sandy Creek passed a resolution that if you did, you would be put out. That was their stand. However, according to Brother Beller, he believes that Colonel Harris was at the Battle of Alamance. And the Battle of Alamance took place, and I forgot the date. It's 6 or 7 years before the Revolutionary War. I think it's in September. And the regulators lost. Now, they wouldn't have lost if these other troops would have got there in time. There were troops on the way led by a man that I've already mentioned, Benjamin Merrill. Benjamin Merrill was on the way with some troops, and I like Benjamin Merrill. Benjamin Merle was a deacon, as I said, in Jersey Church. Benjamin Merle, he was a pretty wealthy man. He had a kind of a plantation, if you will. As a matter of fact, when they captured him, they used his house for the jail. One night, some of Tryon's troops decided that they were going to try to steal his honey from his beehives. It didn't go too well, and the bees got after them and stinging the horses, and the horses got to running with the bells, and they thought the regulators were coming back to get them, and it was kind of a rough night for them. But anyway, they had him in his own house there in jail. But Benjamin Merle was a deacon, and he had a big farm, and he had a mill where they would grind corn. you know, and wheat and stuff like that. But at night, he would set his meal up where it was running, and he had a piece of metal set up and a bit, and it would drill all night long. And in the morning, he had a gun barrel. He was also a gunsmith. And so he was leading this, and they were after him. And of course, if you go to Hillsborough, there's a spot there where they hung the six regulators. How many of you ever watched Over Mountain Men? All right, you see those, you see James Pugh. Remember James Pugh and Over Mountain Men? Blood on his face. And I forgot exactly what he said. You should read what he said. Tremendous. It's similar to what, was it Polycarp? I don't think it's Polycarp, but he said Tertullian, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And James Pugh said a similar statement there. So Benjamin Merle was hanged there. And according to the sentence, he was hanged and cut down before he was dead. Disemboweled, his bowels burned in front of him, and his family was forced to watch. That was in Colonial North Carolina. There's a debate over whether or not that actually happened. I believe it did, and here's why. If you read Saints and Sinners, after Benjamin Merle was killed, his wife would walk through the woods wringing her hands, and they say she eventually went blind in grief. I think the trauma that she was forced to watch affected her for the rest of her life. But he paid a price that you and I are enjoying.
Yes, amen.
John Gannot, as I mentioned, he became a chaplain in the Revolutionary War. As a matter of fact, he became George Washington's personal chaplain. And George Washington was talking to John Gannot one day, and he said, "I perceive that baptism is by immersion, and I demand immersion at your hands." And John Gannot baptized George Washington in the Potomac River. Now, we can rally and get excited about it and debate some of the doctrine of it. But I'm just thrilled that what many people call the father of our nation was baptized a Baptist. Now, there's no record that he ever actually maintained a membership in a Baptist church. But he practices what you might call a disgruntled Anglican. He would go and he would protest by not standing when they were supposed to stand and things like that in the Anglican church. And so I thank the Lord for men like John Gannot. He was used to start churches besides the one there in North Carolina, but he baptized George Washington. If you go to Kansas City, Kansas, no, it's on the other side of the river, it's in Kansas City, Missouri. The edge, there's a town called Liberty, Missouri, if I remember right, and there's a college there, William Jewell College. William Jewell College was a Baptist college. Today it's whatever. But it was a Baptist college. And years ago, they were going to build a new chapel. And a woman who was wealthy said, "I will donate a substantial amount of money if you'll put this painting in the foyer with this sword." That woman was a descendant of John Gannot. And if you go in there, unless they've ripped it out by now, there's a painting of John Gannot baptizing George Washington in the Potomac River. And the sword, as I understand it, that George Washington gave John Gannot, the Baptist preacher. I praise the Lord for the heritage. There's so much more we could share with you on that. It's things that we know. Our Baptist forefathers, because of their doctrine, paid prices that gave us liberty that we're enjoying today. We'll take a pause there.